Now, from the KSRM studios on King Beach Road, this is This Week on the Kenai, where the KSRM News Department recaps the largest issues from the week that was. With the top stories from Monday, here's KSRM's Nick Sorrell.
Governor Mike Dunleavy transmitted the fiscal year 2025 state operating and capital budgets on Friday, June 28th. The governor line item vetoed and signed the appropriation bills Thursday afternoon. One of the line item vetoes included $11.9 million marked by the legislature for the Kenai Peninsula and Anchorage school districts to settle a dispute over pandemic relief funds. According to a press release from Dunleavy's office, the result is a fiscally responsible budget that invests in Alaska's public education system, enhances energy security, increases public safety, and improves affordability for Alaskans. The fiscal year 25 budget funds state government from July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025. The operating budget totals $12.2 billion and the capital budget totals $3.5 billion. The governor's line item vetoes reduced the operating budget by $105.7 million and the capital budget by $126.3 million. In March, a leaked letter obtained by KSRM that was sent from the U.S. Department of Education to the Department of Education and Early Development Commissioner Dina Bishop in Alaska indicated that in 2022, the Kenai Peninsula Borough and Anchorage school districts did not receive more than $22 million of intended American Rescue Plan Act funds. The amounts provided in the letter are labeled funding reductions considered disproportionate under the fiscal year maintenance of equity requirement. When finalizing the fiscal year 25 state budget, legislators included $11.9 million to offset some of the state's debt to these districts. However, the governor chose to veto that amount on Thursday. Find out more by visiting this story at RadioKenai.com. The Alaska Supreme Court upheld Alaska's correspondence school allotment program in a Friday ruling, allowing more than 22,000 students and families enrolled in the program to breathe a sigh of relief. The court reversed a Superior Court ruling that had struck down Alaska's correspondence school statutes as unconstitutional, restoring the program as it has existed for the last 10 years. Alaska has had a correspondence school program since before statehood. It has been an important public education option for all Alaskans and a necessity for many Alaskans living in remote areas. In 2014, the Alaska legislature amended the correspondence school statutes to codify existing regulations and make other changes. The legislation expressly permitted parents to purchase educational services and materials from private organizations. Last year, a group of parents backed by the National Education Association filed suit against the Department of Education and Early Development, challenging the facial constitutionality of the 2014 statutes. These plaintiffs argued that spending public funds as private organizations violated Article 7, Section 1 of the Alaska Constitution, specifically the direction that no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. Deed argued in response that most, if not all, of the spending authorized by the statutes was clearly constitutional, including things like buying textbooks, notebooks, and computers from vendors like Amazon and Best Buy, hiring private music tutors and art teachers, and buying course material from a wide variety of private businesses. As a result, the Department of Education and Early Development argued that the plaintiffs needed to challenge specific spending decisions in an as-applied challenge approved by particular school districts rather than bringing a facial challenge. The National Park Service said on Friday it intends to ban hunters from baiting bears in national preserves in Alaska. The new rule, set to take effect later this summer, would bar sport hunters from using bait such as bacon grease, pastries, syrup, or dog food to attract bears, the agency said in a statement. Baiting encourages bears to become conditioned to human-provided food, increasing the likelihood of negative human-bear interactions, they said. The issue has been a subject of intense debate and litigation. Conservation groups in 2020 sued over a Trump administration-era rule that allowed certain hunting practices authorized by the state, including bear baiting, to take place on federally run national preserves. The Trump administration's plan rolled back an Obama-era rule that had banned non-subsistence hunters from engaging in such things as bear baiting or using dogs to hunt black bears, killing wolves during denning season, and taking swimming caribou. In 2022, U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason found several problems with the Trump-era rule. She found, among other things, that the plan was, quote, arbitrary and capricious because NPS disregarded without explanation its conclusion in 2015 that state regulations failed to adequately address public safety concerns associated with bear hunting, end quote. Gleason sent the rule back to the agency for further work, and the Park Service said Friday that the new rule addresses concerns she'd raised. The Tustamina Lake Fire was caused by an unattended campfire, according to officials with the Division of Forestry. While the cause has been determined, the individual or individuals responsible have not yet been identified, although an investigation is ongoing. Fire Management Officer Howie Kent said it was very evident that the escaped fire was the cause.
Whether the individual knew that it had been put out or not, it clearly had not been. I mean, there was enough heat in there that it caused the wildfire.
If forest fire prevention is not enough incentive for folks to make sure their campfires are fully extinguished, it should be noted that individuals determined to be responsible for a wildfire are held liable for the costs of fire suppression efforts. Meanwhile, suppression of the Tustamina Lake wildfire continues with smoke jumpers, hotshot modules, and air support units engaged. According to Kent, the blaze is very near full containment, but extensive mop-up work still remains.
Crews continue to secure the edge there. They're thinking by the end of shift today, we'll have the edge 100% basically contained. And then from there, it's pretty extensive mop-up, which means there's a lot of heavy dead and down fuels, a lot of beetle-killed trees that have tipped over there. So there's going to be a lot of mop-up probably for the next 5 or 6 days.
With Independence Day just around the corner, Kent advises the public to be exceedingly conscientious of their campfires and ensure they are fully extinguished before leaving.
When people are out recreating, it's important that they stay in attendance, number one, because we've had a lot of fires that have escaped. As soon as somebody walks away is usually when that happens. And then before they leave and depart, to head back to wherever they originated from to make sure that their fire is 100% out, cold to the touch before they leave.
If anyone has information on the individuals responsible for the unattended campfire that caused the Tustamina Lake blaze, please contact the Division of Forestry at 907-260-4200 or call 911. Coming up, we'll take a look at the stories from Tuesday. This is KSRM News.